So with 24 days to go, I wonder how prepared you all are. How prepared are you feeling for Christmas? I wonder if you're like the person who I spoke to in the middle of September, who was all bought and wrapped and ready, or whether you're like my grandad Wilson, who always did his Christmas shopping, allegedly did his Christmas shopping, late on Christmas Eve, as the prices in the Newcastle shops were being reduced. Are you a planner, or are you a last minute panicker? Are you all organised, or will you just kind of go with the flow? Because do you know what? It always happens, whatever. 25th of December will come round and, you know, it'll all be all right on the night. Do you have particular traditions as a family or as you grew up that happen, are part of your preparations, part of your celebrations? In our house, Christmas Eve is about shepherd's pie, chocolate log, and the Muppets Christmas Carol. And I don't think it'll be any different this year, though there might be the odd midnight and carols and things thrown in for good measure. So how you prepare, however you prepare for Christmas Day, one of the things that I really love about this time of year is that shared sense of preparation, that shared sense of counting down to something big. Now, I know, as you do, that the commercial countdown began way back in August when cards start appearing in the shops. But by now, most of us are walking the same path together. We're all walking towards a shared goal of December the 25th. And whether those preparations have a faith content or not, whether Christmas for some is largely a family or a commercial event, or just an excuse for a big party, it is one of the remaining, if not only, shared celebrations which unites us. I love seeing the growing number of Christmas trees and lights, the sparkle and the glitter appearing everywhere, and that almost tangible sense of anticipation, in brackets, panic. Today is the first Sunday of Advent, the day in the church calendar which marks the official start of our spiritual preparations for Christmas. And in the church calendar, Advent Sunday, it's very like New Year's Day, because this is the day, it's the start of the kind of liturgical church calendar New Year, if you like, when we move from Advent to Christmas, then Christmas to Lent to Easter, Easter to Pentecost and beyond. And it all begins again today. And this year, Advent Sunday very, very conveniently coincides with December the 1st, the day when many of us start opening our Advent calendars and lighting Advent candles and things. I always get a bit confused or feel a bit hard done by when Advent is the end of November and I can't open my Advent calendar until the 1st of December. So it's really great that, pleases me anyway, that it's all happening on the same day today. Advent, the word Advent, it simply means to come. It means arrival. It's a time of reflection and a time of preparation. It's a time to reflect upon the coming or arrival of Jesus Christ, of his birth and his promised return. Advent looks backwards and Advent looks forwards. It looks backwards to the manger and the birth of the long-awaited Messiah or Saviour, the one who the Old Testament prophets spoke of and the people of Israel longed for. Our patient or our not-so-patient counting down the days to the 25th mirrors in a tiny way, the longing and the anticipation of Israel for a Saviour. And during Advent, we listen again to the old prophecies. We hear the familiar records of angel visits, of promises of sons to Elizabeth and to Mary, of dreams and prophecies of journeys and genealogies. We sing carols, we send Christmas greetings, we decorate our homes, we decorate our workplaces. All part of our shared preparation as we look back to that first Christmas and prepare to celebrate again the miracle of God's coming to us in the baby in Bethlehem. We look back and prepare to celebrate the event which changed all our futures. And this is the spiritual truth which lies behind all our celebrations. And no matter what our circumstances or our sadnesses, it is a truth which is worth preparing to celebrate as well as we are able. For it is this truth which offers hope and life and love and joy into our broken world. It is this light which the darkness can never overcome. So we look backward, but we also look forward. We look forward to the promised return of Jesus Christ in glory. And our waiting in Advent, again in a tiny way, it mirrors that bigger wait. Both our Bible passages this morning speak of Christ's future return. The reference to last days in that second chapter of Isaiah, they begin with the birth of Jesus and will be brought to complete fulfillment at his return. That moment in history when Jesus will come again to establish his just and peaceful rule in the whole earth. In verse 4, Isaiah writes, "He will judge between the nations and will settle disputes for many peoples. They will beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not take up sword against nation, nor will they train for war anymore." The passage from Matthew, it tells us of the unknown hour and day of Christ's return and the need to be ready. The comparison with Noah, which stresses this need for readiness. Whereas Noah and his family were ready and prepared for the flood, everyone else carried on oblivious to the warning of judgment for the world's sins. And so Noah and his family were saved and the others were swept away. And the message that Jesus is making here is clear. We must be ready for Christ's return, not by calculating the date or the hour. As Jesus says, we have no way of knowing when that is, but preparing by living a faithful life in response to God's invitation. There are only two kind of people, our gospel tells us, the prepared and the therefore saved, the unprepared and the therefore lost. The illustrations of men working in fields and women milling serve to highlight this point. It's not a difference in work or situation which causes the separation, but a difference in our readiness. Advent, then, is a time to remind ourselves of the reality of Christ's return, not as a long forgotten promise, but as a lived out hope. And it gives us time to reflect on our own readiness. "Therefore, keep watch," says Jesus, "because you do not know on what day your Lord will come. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known at what time of night the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and would not have let his house be broken into. So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." In his book, Wake Up to Advent, the Archbishop of York, John Sentamu, he comments, "We tend not to think of the crime statistics in Jesus Christ's time, yet the concept of the thief in the night was obviously one that resonated with his hearers. Jesus Christ's warning to be prepared for the day of the Lord arriving unexpectedly like a thief in the night was remembered and recorded by both Matthew and Luke. It is mentioned in three of Paul's letters and in Revelation. the fear and vulnerability we feel with the threat of our security being compromised and the things we hold valuable being taken from us is a powerful reminder of the need to be prepared and vigilant. The point of the thief imagery is not that we are to live in fearful expectation, but rather we are to live in readiness, in hopeful, not fearful expectation of Christ's promised return. You do not know, says Jesus, whether your day will have nothing more dramatic in it than the usual challenges of work, home, and living, or whether it might actually be the day when I return in glory. Now, I was just idly thinking that if the Lord was able to return before December the 12th, I'd be really grateful, because then I wouldn't actually have to decide who I need to vote for, and we'd no longer be talking about Brexit. Though if you're one of those super organised people who are all set for Christmas and you've got the freezer full of food, you may be a little irritated if Jesus returned before the 26th. But you and I, it's not in our control. It's not in our planning. It's not about when's convenient for us. It's in God's timing. And Jesus says we must be ready for that. God's timing is not our timing, and so we must wait. We must wait eagerly, yes. We must wait patiently, yes. We must wait in readiness. Waiting for Christmas can almost be unbearable for children. It can be almost unbearable for some adults. Waiting for hospital appointments or exam results, a job interview, or for a big life event, we can get irritable, we can get distracted. We can even get despondent, thinking that the day will never come. So it should be no surprise to us that waiting for Jesus can be hard going. In the midst of everyday tasks and humdrum living, it can be easier to forget than remember that one day Jesus will come in glory. John Sentamu comments that waiting is a real challenge to our character and to the quality of our love. For waiting requires trust, patience, obedience, hope, and determination. It also requires energy to remain focused in spite of the distractions of anxiety or the weariness of boredom. Waiting is a real challenge to our character, and he's talking about our waiting for the return of Christ. A real challenge to our character and to the quality of our love. Waiting requires trust, patience, obedience, hope, and determination. It requires energy to remain focused in spite of the distractions or the anxiety or weariness of boredom. But if our waiting is only focused on Christ's future return, we can easily miss his coming to us in the now. Advent is about the God who comes to us in Jesus, in the past, in the future, and in the present, in the now. The incarnation, that is God coming to us as a person, teaches us about the reality of finding him in the everyday, in the fleshly life that we live. Whilst we are to look back to Bethlehem and forward to Christ's return in glory, we must not do so at the expense of missing Jesus, who comes to us now. David Adams, who was one time vicar of Holy Island in Northumberland and one of my favourite writers of prayers, has written a lot about discovering the presence of Jesus in the now. He talks about it not being something we can create, but something that we need to open ourselves to becoming more aware of. One of his prayers reads, "Open my eyes that I may see the presence that is all about me. Open my ears that I may hear the voice that is quiet yet ever near. Open my heart that I may feel the love of my God close and real. Open each sense. Make me aware of the power and peace always there." The 19th century poet Elizabeth Browning writes, "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every bush of fire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes." In a song that we often sing here, Phil Wickham puts it another way. "I see your face in every sunrise. The colours of the morning are inside your eyes. I see your power in the moonlit night, where planets are in motion and galaxies are bright." You will all, I'm sure, have seen comedy moments in cartoons or films where the character falls down a hole in the road because they've got their eyes on something in the far distance that they can't actually see what is right in front of them. So let's not be so absorbed in either the past or the future that we fail to see the Christ who is right in front of us. To finish with a little story of a percussion player in an orchestra. The orchestra were playing Ravel's Bolero, and those of us of a certain age, that's forever associated with that wonderful ice dance by Torvald Lindén. And the percussion player's job was to strike the cymbals at a great climax at the very end of the piece. Now, Bolero is basically, it's basically the same tune and the same rhythm repeated through 18 variations of the same melody. I read this, I don't know this, okay? So it's the same tune, I'm told, and the same rhythm repeated throughout 18 variations of the same melody, each played by different instruments. And the percussion player had to listen really, really hard and count the bars until his great moment came. But one little lapse of concentration and one brief shift of focus meant that he lost count. He took his eyes off the conductor. He missed his entry and his moment of glory, and he was too late for his great finale. As we wait for Christ's coming, we need to constantly have our attention on our heavenly conductor, who is nearer to us than our breath. Patrick, the 5th century bishop and evangelist in Ireland, wrote this famous prayer: "Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me. Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left. Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. Christ in the heart of every man who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks of me. Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me." Advent then speaks of the God who comes to us in Jesus in the past, in the future, and in the now. It encourages us to wait with hopeful expectation and focused waiting. It reminds us to seek out and be open to the Christ who comes to us in the present moment. And it invites us to pray with all in heaven and earth, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." Let's pray together. Jesus, thank you for coming to us as the baby in Bethlehem, and thank you for your promised return in glory. Open our eyes to your presence in the now, in our busy and broken lives, in our joy and our sadness, our health and sickness. Make us ready to welcome you, and help us to wait with hopeful and focused expectation, today and every day. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.